You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the duchy, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Welcome to In the Key of Change Chats. Today's chat is with the Amity Affliction from Rams Head Live. Let's give it a listen because it's time for a change. This is Jackie and I'm here with Aaron. We are here at Rams Head Live, which I hear you're a fan of Baltimore. You're a fan of like the sports of Baltimore, which even people who live in Baltimore don't always admit to that. Yeah. but we're here for the Amity Affliction and Census Fail. So what is it about Baltimore sports that draws you? Because I'm very curious as someone who is not local to the area.
Right. So yeah, I've always been a big fan of baseball in general, ever since I saw Major League when I was like, 7 or 8 years old. And, I grew up loving the Indians, and then kind of, I wanted to play baseball, but I didn't like the tight pants they wore. And, look at me now. But and then when we first came over to record Youngbloods in 2010, I was like, I'm going to pick the worst team, because we went to Citi Field and I wanted to, pick a team and follow baseball properly. And I found out that the O's in 2009 were the worst team in the league. So I was like, I'm going to choose the underdog. And also I was a big fan of The Wire at the time, the show. And because of Stringer Bell, my friends started calling me String. And yeah, it just kind of stuck. And I was like, hell yeah, Baltimore's hard. So I'll back the team. And then, we started doing pretty good in 2012 and 2014. And then it all just fell to shit again. So
It's a very Baltimore thing. There's like hope, and then not so much. But I appreciate that you root for the underdog. Yeah, I think that's good.
A very Australian thing to do. We always root for the underdog.
I like that. Any baseball tattoos?
Yeah, I've got the O's logo here. My pants are already destroyed. I got another one here. A few O's tattoos.
Have you ever gotten any tattoos in Baltimore from an artist?
In Baltimore, no. But I know there is a lot of good talent out here. I follow a lot of people from Baltimore. I think. What's his name? Someone from DC that's really famous. Chad Koplinger. He's one of my favorites as well.
I think the Baltimore Tattoo Convention was maybe a couple of weeks ago, so you got to time the tour a little bit better next time around. Oh, yeah.
Usually we have, luckily we have lined up games on show days, but this time not a single game has lined up with, our shows. Yeah. But yeah.
Fucking Ravens. Yeah. Blame you for losing it in the playoffs. Good job. But let's talk about you and your band. The Amity Affliction has been going strong despite lineup changes for over 15 years now. What do you attribute to your band's longevity?
I actually kind of answered this question the other day. I think when we started, a screamo was just kind of taking off. And I was 17 and we started the band, and we were listening to bands like Atreyu and Poison the Well, and that's when we went from punk rock to this kind of music. And I don't know, it was kind of a flash in the pan in a way. It was a few years of that music was really big, and then it kind of died out, but we just kept doing it the whole time and just touring Australia for 5 or 6 years. And then all of a sudden it went, did a whole 360, and it was back in fashion and popular again. And we just kind of took it from there and ran with it and just kept doing the same thing we've always been doing. And luckily for us, people started listening, and the rest is history.
What is it about the genre, do you think? Punk and hardcore bands, there's a lot of bands that have been around for 10 years or more versus pop, for whatever reason, you've got a lot of turnover. What do you think it is about the genre that kind of keeps fans coming back over and over?
I guess, the message definitely, Joel's lyrics are a huge part of our success. And I think, people being able to relate to lyrics is a huge thing in music. For me, I've never really been a huge fan of lyrics. I appreciate good lyrics, but for me, it's all about the music. And I think when you combine those two together and just write songs that you you know, feel passionate about, write songs that you want to hear, and then couple them with meaningful lyrics, and you have a really meaningful song. And I think this genre of music is, you know, very passionate, and just kind of pour your heart out, let your aggression out, all that sort of stuff. You know, the heavier the music, the more powerful it is, kind of thing. And you know, the sadder it is, or whatever. But yeah, I think it's just a passionate genre of music.
I would agree with that. And your new music, Misery, came out over the summer. How is it different from Severed Ties?
I mean, Severed Ties was our first album, so we didn't really know what we were doing per se back then. We were just kind of like, we'd write a song about, yep, that's it. So, you know, nowadays we'll write, you know, 20 something songs and pick the best ones. But back then, if someone had a song, we'd be like, all right, that's going on the album, no matter what. Exactly. And so now we're kind of, you know, perfectionists, if you will. We really want to make sure every album is the best album we've ever done. So you're really finicky about how we create our music now, as opposed to when we were kids, messing around pretty much.
You get a little bit older, you get a little bit wiser, exactly. If you can help. Why was it so important to change things up and attack the songwriting and the music this time around in a different way? And how do you notice it has helped for this time?
I think, yeah, for us, we kind of got a lot of criticism for the last few albums being the same. And although we disagree with that, we can see why people would, you know, kind of say those things. So we really wanted to not only just prove to everyone that we can do other kind of stuff, we really wanted to try it as well and just push ourselves and see, you know, what kind of stuff we can do. Like, let's just try anything we want to do. And I think that definitely shows in the new album. And we wanted every song to sound different, like as different as possible. So we didn't want just, you know, all bangers. We wanted to have slow points in the record and, you know, fast points and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, just being as diverse as possible and just trying anything we wanted to do. Yeah.
So I've asked this question to Under Oath and Atreyu, who you mentioned recently. They sort of undergone recently a purposeful change in sound, not drastically, at least in my opinion, but and both had kind of dealt with some backlash because of it. So now that you're 5 months away from releasing the album, how do you feel that the album's been received now by fans?
I mean, we were very optimistic and scared at the same time, because we are always, you know, our biggest flag flyers. Like, we would never put out something that we didn't like. So we were all very hyped on the new direction we took. And obviously, there's always going to be some naysayers and stuff. But, you know, any publicity is good publicity, in my opinion. But it was like, you know, very different to, you know, the way Let the Ocean Take Me was received. I think that was kind of our breakthrough album and everyone loved it. And there wasn't many people going, this sucks or whatever. But this time, there's a lot of people doing that. But I mean, you know, we turn up to Baltimore and we've got a sold out show tonight. So, I mean, it's always the vocal minority who are the naysayers. And those are the ones who are trying to get you under your skin. They're probably not even a fan of your band in the, you know, to begin with. But, you know, it's funny you say that. Like, Under Oath recorded their record at the same place we did with Matt Squire, who's coming tonight. And, you know, we recorded in Beltsville, which was good for me. I got to go to opening day and stuff. But yeah, honestly, like we don't really care about the flack we get. We just want to try and do us. We don't want to alienate older fans as well, but we just want to try to make new and you know, exciting music and not just rehash old albums and, you know, just try and do the best we can.
So now how do you go about choosing your set list now when you have such a big catalog?
Honestly, we just go on Spotify and just look at what everyone's listening to. So if anyone wants to hear something, you got to just listen to it on repeat. But yeah, so that's honestly how we've always done it. We just want to please the majority of the crowd, because we have played old songs before. And, you know, a lot of the times they do fall on deaf ears because no one knows them. And it sucks for us because we're just playing an old song to please older fans. But we don't enjoy playing old stuff either, because we've done that for so many years already. But yeah, honestly, we just go on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, see what the most popular songs are and just play them.
What other role do you see music streaming having, in especially in 2019, in your career?
I mean, it's really accessible. It's super easy. I mean, you know, I have a Spotify account and I don't buy CDs or anything anymore. I think it's going to be a thing of the past by the time we, you know, release our next album. So I think it's great for everyone. I don't really know. It's so early in the days of this that we don't, you know anything about royalties yet, or, you know, but that's yeah, for real. So I know it's just like a fraction of a cent per 1,000 plays or something. So there's no money in the record industry anymore like there used to be, but, you know, we've never seen any of that anyway. But yeah, I think it's great because you can literally listen to anything you want, you know, on your phone at the tip of your fingers. So it is good.
I mean, especially when everyone has an account, that's definitely beneficial. So Spotify, you mentioned YouTube as well. Music videos are important as well to kind of get your face out there. Many artists use their different social media platforms and technology to address social issues, political issues. How do you use your platform to bring about change in the ways that you see fit?
Me personally, I don't really. I kind of just tweet about sports and and things I like.
Too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm trying to make everyone a Baltimore fan. But yeah, Joel's a real social justice warrior at the moment. And, you know, he'll speak his mind and tweet whatever he wants. And, you know, we are all kind of lefties, if you will. But yeah, I mean, I just try and stay away from that in this climate because everyone's just so divided. It's really sad to see. But yeah, I mean, I'm all for, like, you know, everyone having equal rights and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I just kind of talk about sports instead.
Hey, you know what? You got to enjoy life too. So what's up for Amity after this tour?
Honestly, I think we've got a couple of festivals. Sorry. We've got a couple of festivals in Australia for Download. And then we're going to do a festival run in Europe. And then Australian tour later on in the year. So yeah.
Well, stay tuned for much more from the Amity Affliction. This is Jackie. Thanks to In the Key of Change and Substream Magazine.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.